Nidai Gaura Premanandi. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to Shishiguru and Shigoranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, entitled The Summon Bonon, Chapter 4, entitled The Atrocities of King Kamsa, Text Number 13. Iti prabhasyatam devi maja bhagavati bhuvi bahuna maniketeshu bahuna ma babhu baba babhu vaha. Sorry. Iti prabhasyatam devi maja bhagavati bhuvi bahuna maniketeshu bahuna ma babhu baha. Iti prabhasyatam devi maja bhagavati bhuvi bahuna maniketeshu bahuna ma babhu babha. Please chant. Iti, in this way, prabhasya, addressing tam, Kamsa, devi, the goddess Durga, maya, yoga maya, bhagavati, possessing immense power, like that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhuvi, on the surface of the earth. Bahunama, of different names. Niketeshu, in different places. Bahunama, different names. Mbabhuba became indeed, sorry, ha indeed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. After speaking to Kansa in this way, the goddess Durga, Yoga Maya, appeared in different places, such as Varanasi, and became celebrated by different names, such as Annapurna, Durga, Kali, and Bhadra. Purport. The goddess Durga is celebrated in Calcutta as Kali. In Bombay as Mumba Devi. In Varanasi as Annapurna. In Cuttack as Bhadra Kali. In Ahmedabad as Bhadra. Thus, in different places, she is known by different names. Her devotees are known as Shaktas, or worshippers of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas worshippers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself are called Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are destined to return home back to Godhead in the spiritual world, whereas the Shaktas are destined to live within this material world to enjoy different types of material happiness. In the material world, the living entity must accept different types of bodies. Brahmayam sarvabhutani jantra rudrani mayaya. Bhagavad Gita 1861. According to the living entity's desires, Yoga Maya or Maya, the goddess Durga, give him a particular type of body, which is mentioned as jantra, a machine. But the living entity who are promoted to the spiritual world do not return to the prison house of a material body. Tyakta deham punar jamma naiti man eti sorjuna. The words jamma na eti indicates that the living entities remain in their original spiritual bodies to enjoy the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental abodes of Vaikuntha and Vrindavan. Iti prabhasyatam devi maya bhagavati bhuvi bahu nama niketeshu bahu nama babhu baha. After speaking to Kamsa in this way, the goddess Durga Yogamaya appeared in different places such as Varanasi and became celebrated by different names such as Annapurna, Durga, Kali and Bhadra. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaja Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Ramapada Swami Iti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvesesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Shatarine Vanchakalpa Tarubhyasha Kripa Sindubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So we hear so far the classes, especially during the time that His Holiness Bhaktisundar Maharaj was here, he was explaining the difference between Mahamaya and Yoga Maya. Prabhupada explains, Maharaj brought it, that the energy of the Lord acts. So this is an analogy, like electricity. So electricity, just with a matter of a switch, it can cool or it can heat. So, you know, we have those controllers in the wall, to control, you know, either the heat department or the cooling department, the air conditioning. You just have to look, there's a little switch. So the same energy will act in a particular way or in another way. So from the lower level, there is a distinct difference. One is air condition, one is heat. From a higher level, it's the same energy. So there is no difference. So similarly, the energy of the Lord, from the lower level, from our level in this material world, there's a very distinct difference. And we see how that same energy, this Maya energy of the Lord, acts in a different way towards the devotees and towards the non-devotees. The principle remains the same. Maya creates an illusion that doesn't allow us to see Krishna as he is. So the word Maya is described as illusion, as something like magic, something like a covering potency, like that. So for the devotees, such as Devaki and Vasudeva, Yashoda, and all the associates of the Lord, the devotees of the Lord, this energy covers the understanding of who is Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they're not able to recognize. And then we see in the case of Devaki and Vasudeva, they go in between knowing Krishna's position and forgetting Krishna's position, which is quite far out. His Holiness Rupa Swami spoke very succinctly about it, very wonderfully explained that. But when the Maya potency of the Lord, the yoga, is explained for the devotees, it becomes yoga Maya. So it's a superior manifestation of that energy. It's exclusively for those who are under the shelter of Krishna. Or under the shelter of Krishna becomes under the shelter of this spiritual potency. Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita. For the devotees, Daivi Prakriti Ashrata. That for the devotees, they are under the shelter of this divine potency, or this superior potency. But they forget, the principle is the same. The devotee forgets Krishna's position. But he forgets Krishna's position in a way that enhances their remembrance and their attachment and their love for Krishna. Same energy for the non-devotees manifests as Mahamaya. And he have the same covering principle. It doesn't allow them to recognize and to understand who Krishna is, or who's the personality of Godhead. And thus, the non-devotee, rather, the result of that forgetfulness is that they become more entangled in material existence, pursuing this desire to be the controller and the enjoyer of the material world, material energy. So we hear that in Vrindavan, from Mother Yashoda, this baby girl appears As instructed by Krishna, we hear previously Krishna instruct Yogamaya to appear. So Yogamaya is a spiritual energy. And Yogamaya appears. And when Vasudeva came and picked that little baby girl in exchange, he was in contact with Yogamaya. And then, when he brings it to the prison, and Devaki is holding that little baby, or this manifestation, that form, she's holding Yogamaya. But when Kansa takes that child and holds it, now it becomes Mahamaya, just like a switch, like that. And then she manifests this form of Goddess Durga. With eight arms and like that. So for the non-devotees, this is the manifestation of Maya. Now, it becomes very clear for us and not confusing, because we can, in our position, we cannot equate Durga with Yogamaya. It's different. There's a difference. So we're not worshippers of Durga. We don't worship Durga as a separate goddess like that. We don't approach necessarily Durga. We're not directed to do that. Although within the Vaishnava tradition we see that there are sometimes devotees worshipping a manifestation of Durga Devi. Example, the gopis are worshipping goddess Katayani, which is a manifestation of Durga Devi. But how? What is the purpose? The purpose of to obtain Krishna as their husband. In their case is different because Yogamaya is acting. It's a different realm, but not in our realm. So in our realm we make distinctions. We understand the principle is Krishna's energy, but we do make distinctions. So therefore, in our traditions, we don't worship, we make that distinction, we don't encourage, the worshiping of this, or taking shelter of Durga will be taking shelter of the superior energy of the Lord, the para prakriti, or the spiritual energy of the Lord. Krishna makes that distinction in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter. He says that there is a para prakriti and apara prakriti. So there is a superior and there is an inferior energy. The inferior energy is this material world that is comprised of this, eight material elements, etc., etc. And the superior, the para prakriti, comprise the living entities, and the spiritual energies of the Lord, the spiritual world. So we're clear with the distinction. They both come from Krishna. They're both energy of Krishna. But we do make the distinction. That's the point I like to make. We know the way of being able to overcome the control of this illusory energy. On its own, it's impossible. Even if you approach that personality, that presiding deity of the material energy, you won't be able to become free. Prabhupada says here, those who worship Durga Devi, the Shaktas, they have to remain in the world. They have to remain in the world. Only worshipping of Krishna allows one to go back home, back to Godhead. No one else. So, the key of overcome the control of this illusory energy, which basically every living conditioned soul in this material world is under, is by accepting Krishna as the all and all. Daivi hyesha gunamayi mama madhya duratyaya mam evaisha prapadyante samahatmas durlava. That, no, what is it? Vasudeva sarvamiti, that's it. Vasudeva sarvamiti, no, I'm confusing two verses. Yeah. Mam evaisha prapadyante, that. Mayan etan tarantite. Mayan etan tarantite. That surrendering to Krishna, by surrendering to Krishna, mam evaisha prapadyante, then mayan etan tarantite. Then we can overcome the influence of Maya. So that's where the key lies, by surrendering to Krishna. And then, by surrendering to Krishna, we'll be under protection of this Paraprakriti, under the influence of Paraprakriti. Now, one thing that I often think about it, because it pertains our reality, the most of us, that we're sadhakas that are in the process of becoming purified, meaning that we're still dealing with attachments and with desires, material attachments, material desires, and how exactly acts, because in one sense, we're starting the process of surrendering to Krishna. This sharanam, the process of surrender. But it's not completed, it's in the process. So how exactly it works? Is it that sometimes, you know, the switch come on and off. Sometimes we're on the protection of this spiritual energy. Sometimes we are under the influence of Maya. The way I understand it, which is my limited way, I heard it and Once we are accepted, or we have taken shelter of someone who is fully under the shelter of Krishna, then Krishna will accept us as part of their family. So that's why this process of taking initiation, this samskara of diksha, initiation, is so important. Because at that moment it becomes official. There's vows, and our vows, sometimes Krishna expected, you know, part of the symptoms of condition of devotees, neophyte devotees, is that, you know, your vows takes this roller coaster thing. It's part of the symptoms. So you overcome, you know, when we move to the next level, then it becomes steady. But so the steady platform is called Nishta, which is the next one. You know, when you take initiation, you come to the position of anartha nivritti, is when really start to kick in. You know, from what is it? Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, the initiation, you receive your bhajan, your spiritual practices, and then anartha nivritti. When anartha nivritti is 70% completed, or 75%, then nishta. Nishta means steady. Anishtata bhakti, bhakti is the stage of neophyte. So it's unsteady. Means that, you know, goes like this. So our vows is expected that goes into this thing. But there's one vow that is very strong and steady, and Krishna honors. Krishna sees that. And that's how we receive Krishna's mercy. It's the vow of the spiritual master. He basically is taking the disciple and vows to take him back home, back to Godhead. To take that spirit soul and bring him back home, back to Godhead. He takes that spirit soul and makes a vow to Krishna that he will guide that soul. And Krishna, and that's because we are under the shelter of someone who is on fully under the shelter of Krishna, therefore we are fully under the shelter of Krishna. So now the whole Krishna's energy becomes it have a different arrangement. That's how I understand it. I have a different arrangement. For the materialistic person, Mahamaya is completely under control. In other words, Krishna indirectly is controlling everything that happens to the conditioned souls. Indirectly. Through his energy, the material energy. For the devotee, Krishna directly becomes involved. Not indirectly, but directly. So the question is, well, sometimes we see devotees, sometimes we see ourselves being victimized by some Maya. Sometimes we find ourselves in that embarrassing position. Then what happens? So it means that, you know, well, does it mean that, okay, Krishna let Maya take control? Or how exactly works, you know? So how exactly it works is that for the devotees, this particular energy, if you are under the shelter of a spiritual master, those moments of illusion has the effect that allows the devotee to actually understand much better their weaknesses and have a better capacity and understanding of how to become free from those weaknesses, how to strengthen them. So in other words, Krishna uses our condition in the process of purification to basically help us purify ourselves. Prabhupada explains that it's like taking a thorn with a thorn. It's healing. Under Krishna's protection, everything that happens to us is for the purpose of allowing us to become closer to Him. Sometimes we see devotees that they leave the shelter of Krishna, and after many years then come back and come back with a much more mature understanding and determination. So at the moment that we see that the devotee have left Krishna, or even the devotee itself leaving Krishna, you see it as how tragic. But later, that same tragedy, you can see it as a blessing, because now you're able to understand, you know, in a much mature way how to, you know, properly and, you know, strongly act and how to properly take shelter of Krishna. For the materialistic people is different. The acts of when they fall in Maya, it brings them down. So for us, as long as we are under the shelter of a devotee, then it's always progressive. So we're depending on that. And we have to be able to recognize that. It's not by my power. It's not by my capacity. It's not by my intelligence. It's because of the devotee who have kindly taken me under his shelter. And if I start to weaken in that understanding, then that is a dangerous position. That is when it becomes really dangerous. Because then the power that can kill everything is when we become offensive towards those personalities. And really, it can completely, you know, eliminate your capacity or your chance of becoming fully purified, completely destroyed. We see it in the case of Ramachandra Puri, how by offending his spiritual master, he was he lost the opportunity to recognize and take advantage of the personal association with Lord Chaitanya. Actually being face to face and interacting with Lord Chaitanya, he couldn't recognize him, Lord Chaitanya. And he offended Lord Chaitanya too. So that's a result. Actually, it can destroy our chance. So, it is important for us to remain on that very fixed and with determination, with understanding on that relationship, the relationship with someone who have taken shelter on the lotus feet of Krishna. As for when we pray to our spiritual master, there's always, you know, the pranam mantra always highlight that. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya. Vishnu Padaya means someone who have taken, someone who is in the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, that's my shelter. Otherwise, then we just see the features of Durga, Mahamaya, like that, which is will keep us in this material world cover, and with no understanding, full understanding of Krishna's position and our relationship with him. Any comments or questions? Krishna Arjuna? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was hearing Prabhupada was telling that you told like that, no? How devotee always dependent upon Krishna.
How devotees?
Dependent. Depends upon Krishna in all the activities. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he used to say all the times, if anybody, any devotee asks him to go anywhere, okay, it is if Krishna wants. No? If he does something, he is always telling, if Krishna wants. So that means how all the activities, you know, we should depend upon Krishna. Even if you go to some place, Bhakti Siddhanta always telling, no, okay, if it is Krishna's wish, I can go. So like that, how very nice point it's all, like that, how we have to depend on Krishna and every activities. So, and also regarding the Maya Devi, Durga, because in Brahma Samhita, we have, you know, that is a nice verse, that means Chaya Vajasya Chabhuvanani Vivati Durga Ichhanu Paja Cheshta Tesaha. So, there also, that means how we can know that Durga Devi is the managing whole this material cosmos. So he is the, you know, that is user there, you know, switching like Jogamaya to Mahamaya. So how he is acting, you know?
Yeah.
So like that.
Krishna's amazing energies. Parasya Shaktir Vivadaiva Srujate Swabhava Swabhavali Kriya.
Jnana Vala Kriya.
Yeah. So by his multifarious potencies that act according to his desires, the whole thing automatically happens, even with him doing anything, automatically.
Yeah.
Powerful. Thank you. Krishna Archana.
You had brought up the persons who...
Speak a little louder.
You had brought up that there may be persons who step out of the shelter of Krishna's protection. Pointed out that persons may return to Krishna's protection being much wiser. So I guess the question I have is, just connecting it to the other point you made of that the pivotal or the very important thing was to keep the connection with the spiritual master. So those persons that return, the reason that there's, deep understanding, deep appreciation, is it because the acceptance of the spiritual master has maintained them through that time of being under the illusory energy? Or is it that some connection with sadhana practices keeps the connection with Krishna, that permits that kind of return?
I think there could be many different aspects to it, but I think the most, in my limited opinion, is if you don't harbor sort of so ill feelings towards a spiritual master or some offensive mentality towards a spiritual master. Sometimes, we may be in the position of living Krishna consciousness because we don't feel capable, so it's on us, I remember when I left for 2 years in the beginning of my, coming to Krishna consciousness, and what I remember is like I always thought the devotees were wonderful, and I just cannot do it. So I see a devotee, wow, a devotee, like that type of thing. So I didn't harbor any sort of like criticism or ill feelings towards the devotee. Oh, these people, blah, blah, or, things like that. They're fake, or this and that, criticizing. But I actually did recognize that they can do it, I cannot do it. And I think because of that particular thing, it was easy for me to... Well, by the grace of my spiritual master, I was able to come back. And with enthusiasm, because I had that sort of admiration for the devotees. I observed differently from some of my friends that I grew with, that during that time in Krishna consciousness, some of them were very bitter, and they couldn't make it back. Like I told the story, when I came to Krishna consciousness, I came with a very close friend of mine, Gustavo, remember, you met him. And we were very we're different people, but we have, we're both musicians, we both went to the same school, we're close friends. And I have this great, you know, I mean, I opened myself to the devotees, he couldn't open himself. And we both joined the temple. The same time, everything we did like that, you know. And he just, his experience was very bad. My experience was very amazing. And just because of the attitude. And then he left, I left, you know, different ways. He never, he couldn't ever even, you know, it basically destroyed his capacity to pursue some spiritual path. He just give up that. So I think it's the attitude, it's that feeling, you know, and then it can manifest this way and that way. But as long as you remain, you don't criticize or have some ill feelings towards the devotees, then you're safe. You have the capacity to come back. And we have like our friends Nanda and Ghanasham. At one point they were resentful towards the devotees, you know. And it was very sad the way they left their bodies. We have some friends that were nice devotees, and because of bad association they became offensive toward their own spiritual master. And then all of a sudden all kinds of terrible things started to happen to them. They both became infected with AIDS and they both died. One of them we have, you know, he was in New York, so we were able to come and visit him. He was so bitter and died, you know, I mean, such a beautiful people and have to die in such a terrible condition. Angry and bitter, you know, like that. So, as long as we don't become offensive, I think. Is that all right? Any other comment or questions? Okay, thank you so much. Garantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.